Amen. God bless you. Amen. For coming here. Amen. And we hope to give you a word that you can take with you this week and help fight the enemy. Amen. Because we know that he is, his time isn't very long. Amen. We see the devastation in Oklahoma. We hear about the earthquakes in diverse places. We know that we shouldn't be afraid. Amen. Amen. We shouldn't be worried, because the Word of God says that these things has to come, because it just hastens the coming of the Lord. Look up. Amen. Amen. I want to direct our attention today to a particular scripture that we are all kind of familiar with. Amen. This would be in Philippians chapter 3, and I think we'll start with verse 11, and we'll go through 14. Amen. I just want to give you something to, like I say, to hold on and to continue on. Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for your tender mercy and your loving kindness. We thank you for how that you've brought us this far, Lord. You've taken us all through the week, Lord. You kept us from hurt, harm, or danger, Lord, from the danger that we saw, from the danger that we didn't see, Lord. We just thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the strength, the mind, the determination to hold on, Lord, and to keep pressing on, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just remember us today, Lord, in our hour and our time of need, Lord, to come by and visit us, Lord, when we need you, Lord. We ask you to open the hearts of each one of us, that we might receive your words, that we won't sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like I said, we want to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. I think we'll start at verse 11. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Today, I want us to pay particular emphasis to verses 13 and 14. Amen. If I were going to use a subject today, it would be going the distance. Amen. Amen. Going the distance. Amen. Now, as for my personal testimony, I have been in and around the church all my life. Amen. My mom raised me in church. We heard about her, Pastor Hamilton. I was born and raised in Bakersfield, and at the time, I don't want to say how old I am, but I'm getting up there, a little long in the tooth. But when we was born and raised in Bakersfield, it was just a little country town, amen. It wasn't the big metropolis that it is now, amen. But my mom was a devout believer, and she not only believed, I love the minister when he got up and said, they are a family. Hallelujah. that goes to church. Amen. Yeah. He don't go and just leave his son or his wife come and leave them. They are a family. Yeah. Amen. And that's important in today's society, that families. Amen. And I remember a lot of times when I was a child, I didn't really have a choice. Amen. But then when I got up to be a teenager, I started having choices, but I didn't have a choice because my mom said, "You gonna go." Amen. And in those days, it wasn't like today's day where children can be, what do they call that word? There's a emancipated from their parents. Amen. She believed in not sparing the rod. Yeah. Amen. I was raised to fear God. Amen.
Yes.
And one day, amen, it says if you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it.
Amen.
And I am standing here today as a example of that passage of scripture. Amen. But I gave my life to the Lord. I'm not going to say I was saved and sanctified all my life. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Amen. I grew up. I rebelled. I did all those things that, especially when I became 21 years of age, I said, "I'm 3 times 7 and can't nobody tell me what to do. I'm grown."
Yeah.
Amen. I'm grown. But amen. The Lord had other ideas. Amen.
Yeah.
He took me through the Vietnam War. He kept me safe. He brought me back. And then, you know, I was just kind of floundering around, you know, just going here and there, surrounding myself with all types of people. I was the kind that when I came into the bar, all the drinks are on me. I just wanted to be surrounded by people, you know, but I was still, I felt alone. I felt alone. Amen. But one day, I surrendered my life to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I gave my life to God.
Yeah.
And he changed my life completely.
Yeah.
Amen. And ever since that day, I have had no desire to go back into the world that I left.
Thank you,
amen.
Amen.
And it's not to say that I have not made some mistakes.
Yes.
Sometimes some people might call them major mistakes.
Yes.
Amen. There have been a lot of steps forwards.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there's been a lot of steps backwards.
Hallelujah.
But God and his infinite mercy,
yes,
have kept me pressing forward.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. And today, after all of my years of experience, I'm more determined than ever.
Thank you, Jesus.
To go the distance with Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. One of the most important things that we need to learn about our walk with God is that it's not so much the speed.
All right. All right now.
As he is into distance. Because he said in his word, the race is not given to the swiftest,
that's right.
That's right.
Nor the battle to the strongest.
Yeah.
It's the distance that counts.
Yeah.
Amen.
You,
walking with God is a consistent step by step process.
Yes,
a forward motion that continues over the long haul. Amen. That's what in John 15:7, when he says, abide in him.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes applying this to our everyday life, It's easier said than done. Amen. And in my study and in my research, God has allowed me to discover some ways that we can follow to build our faith and to make it work in our real life. Amen. Well, we're going to look at some of the steps that will impact on the tough areas of life. Areas like dealing with depression, like coping with pressures from your job, like coping with pressures from your family, friends, and etc. And learning to spend more time with God. Amen. It's not always easy, but it is exciting. And the result is worth the effort. Amen. One of the things that I love about the Word of God is that it is so practical. Amen. Now, writers like the Apostle Paul gives us examples that we can identify with, as well as make sense in our everyday life. Amen. Now, in our key scripture, Paul gives some good advice for those who want to go the distance for Jesus. Amen. Listen to another version of the scripture, which says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write to you again about the same thing, about the same things, because it is a safeguard to you to watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are circumcised, amen, who worship God in the spirit and glory of Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I have reasons for such confidence, if anybody think that they have the reasons to put confidence in flesh." Now we listen to Brother Paul as he talks. Now, listen to Paul's resume. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, meaning that he was not a mixed breed. Amen. Just bear with me here. I'm telling Paul's story. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, that was the only tribe that stuck with Judah during the revolt. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Man. In regards to the law. A Pharisee. Now that was one of the strictest sects. As for the zeal of persecuting the church, as for legal righteousness, he was faultless. But whatever was for my profit, he said, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He says, what's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. For whose sake I have lost all things and do count them but mere rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. That comes from God and is by faith. Yes. Amen. Amen. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He writes, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but he said that I press on to take hold of that which Christ himself Now he said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. He said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win. In a brief summary of what Paul is saying in the scripture, he is giving us three basic ideas to help us to go the distance. One is that we have to be prepared to face the opposition. We don't know what direction is coming, but we have to be prepared for it. We know that the enemy, the devil's time is short. And if anyone knows that he only has a certain amount of time, it's the devil.
Yes.
And he is on his job 24/7.
Yes.
He don't sleep. He is trying to take as many people as he can with him to his misery.
Yes,
so we have to be prepared. Number two is we have to keep a single-minded focus on our goal.
Thank you, Lord.
And last but not least,
thank you, Jesus,
we have to run to win. I didn't hear an amen,
amen,
but we have to run to win.
Yes.
Not just to be in the race.
Thank you, Jesus.
First, let's focus on his call of single-mindedness. You know, sometimes in watching the races on TV, the Olympics and some of the big races that we all get captured into watching, they do close-ups in slow motion that capture every grimace, every strain, every neck muscle. It allows us to see the concentration, the intensity of the runners.
Yes.
Every fiber is dedicated to one thing and one thing alone. That's the finish line. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the legs. You see the muscles in their legs.
Yes.
They have one thing on their mind. They don't stop to wave at friends. They don't stop to say, "Ooh, look at me." Usain Bolt don't say, "I'm so far ahead, nobody can catch me." This is just a piece of cake. But they remember that it ain't over till it's over.
Yes.
Amen. Paul is saying that if we want to go the distance with Jesus, we have to be single-minded.
Hallelujah.
We can't look back. We can't look off. We must stay focused and press forward.
Amen.
He said, forgetting those things that are behind, straining toward that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize.
Yes.
For which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You know, I read in the paper one time about this guy. I read all the time, amen. And he was a young man. He was trying to show off for his newlywed wife, amen. He was down by the marina, and he was standing with one foot on the dock, and the other foot was on his new boat. He's rocking back and forth. Oh, he's just showing out. Suddenly, in his mind, he saw a fellow doing a spread eagle. And he realized that person was him. He knew he had to take immediate action or he was in for a mega baptism. I'm not saying it was in the name of Jesus. He was going in the water. He said the only thing that he could do was jump.
Yeah.
Amen. The good news was that he hit the dock.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad news was where he hit the dock. Oh. Oh, Lord. It wasn't so pleasant. But he learned a valuable lesson. So many times we try to live our lives with one foot on the world's dock and the other foot on God's boat. And we keep getting spread farther and farther until the compromise eventually leads us to some major pain and out of the will of God. That's why Paul warns us to be single-minded. Sooner or later, we come to the place where we have to make a clear-cut decision. Where are we going to stand? On the world's dock or in God's boat? It's easy to say, amen, but there is no middle ground. And our action speaks louder than our words. For Paul, it came down to a single-minded commitment to Christ. He said, this one thing I do. One reason it's so tough sometimes to be single-minded is we often drag emotional baggage along with us. Amen. Sometimes we have had a rough time moving forward because of some painful stuff behind us in our past. That's why Paul said, forget the past. Now, Paul is not saying, act like the past never happened or act like it wasn't real. But he's saying that we have to bury it. But I want to warn you of one thing. Don't bury it alive. Sometimes the wounds of the past are self-inflicted. Bad choices, wrong decisions, guilt about certain things. You know, maybe sometime the best way to get rid of it is just to confess it. Amen. We have a hard time admitting that we've done wrong. Amen. And as little as we may realize, we can't press forward until we do. The scripture says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Our walk with God is worth clearing the air. After all, we won't run very far dragging a load of hurt, dragging a load of painful memories, and dragging a load of unconfessed sins. Remember, if nobody knows about it, we know. And rest assured, God knows. Amen. And we're the ones that have to live with it. Amen. So I implore you to get rid of so that we get rid of them so we can press forward. Amen. Now, some people go through their whole life like Adam. And you know what Adam did. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Blaming somebody else. If only my parents hadn't been so hard on me. If only the teacher hadn't done that. If only I had a husband or a wife. Sometimes it's easier just to cop out than to cope. But the choice is ours. And if we hope to run the race with single-mindedness and stay focused on our goal, we have to forget the things that are behind us. According to the Apostle Paul, single-mindedness in this scripture life is not just forgetting the past, but it is also straining toward that which is ahead. It's a willingness to say, all right, Lord, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I know if I obey you in this, but if I let go of it, that you will be there with me. One of the hardest parts of being single-minded in the walk with Christ is that most of us tend to want to play it safe. We want to be Christians, but sometimes it's kind of scary. We don't always know where obedience to the word is going to lead us. We don't have any guarantee about where we're going to land. So in our mind, we like, all right, Lord, I'll do everything you say, but. We always add that but in there. That's why Paul said the bottom line is, in order to stay balanced, we got to do, like they say, go for broke. No ifs, ands, or buts. God is calling us right now to move forward in obedience to him. Not just to start in the race, but to finish it. Not just to meet him, but to remain in him. It's a long haul. The route is tough. We need to search ourselves and see if we are really willing to turn from the world's docks and plant both feet firmly in God's boat. Amen. Like I say, it may be some rocky sails ahead, but with Jesus at the stern, we will make it safely to the other side. Amen. Jesus is not waiting for us somewhere at the end of the race. Amen. He's running with us. Amen. He's there to guide us, to catch us when we fall. He's the one who helps us to go the distance. Paul said to the Hebrews, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. But let us run with the perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Paul warned the Philippians to watch out for those dogs. Dogs bark at you. They chase you. They distract you. But you know what? They can never stop you. The only thing good they do is they keep you moving. Amen. Paul had some real dogs nipping at his heels. They didn't bite, but they made a lot of noise. Their charge was that Paul was a phony, that he was preaching a phony gospel. And the only way you could be saved was through circumcision after the law of Moses, when Christ was the end of the law to everyone that believed, when he warned us to watch out for the dogs. He's telling us to beware of the distraction in our Christian life that in and of themselves can't stop us, but they can slow us down or push us in the wrong direction. Now let us look at some of the dogs that we have to face. There is the terrier. Now he tries to frighten us. He tries to frighten you out of trusting God. They try to make you panic about every little thing. They tell you that God gave us five senses, and that he helps those that help themselves. But my Bible says to cast all your cares upon him, trust in him with all your heart, and to lean not to your own understanding. And then there is the pointer dogs that always point out that you are what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. They have advice for everyone that they don't seem, they have advice for everyone. But they don't seem to take their own advice. They're always pointing a finger at somebody else. One of the strangest things about pointers is that when we come face to face with one, it looks to be us.
All
right. We're always pointing the finger.
All right.
We are our own worst enemy. Then we have the boxer. Now, he's like, they know just what God does and what he doesn't do. They can't stop God from being God. But if you aren't watchful, they'll rationalize you off the course. They'll say, God didn't do those things, those kind of things anymore. Those were back in the Bible days. But my scripture tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Dogs are always coming at you with important strategy. But I tell you, it's not to get intimidated. Keep on the race. Jesus is our best friend, not the dog. People say dogs are man's best friend. But I'm telling you that Jesus is our best friend.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, when you hear that barking in your ears, just turn around and look at that dog straight in the face and say, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. God keep you. Stay focused. And like it says in verse 14 of our scripture, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love you. Stay focused. Stay in the race and finish. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
All right. All right. All right. Thank you.
Amen.
The church say amen.
Amen. Amen.